Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
It's another Growing in Grace podcast. I'm the Cap, Mike Kapler. With me is my co-host and Bible wizard. And just ask him to expound on Jeremiah, and he'll tell you Jeremiah was a bullfrog and a good friend of his. Welcome to the podcast, the Breeze Man, Jeremiah Joel Breezeki. Is that true, or is that just a rumor I heard about Jeremiah?
You could call me a pinball.
If you brought your Bibles, that's in chapter 3, Dog Night.
Jeremiah was a prophet. I had a friend that used to sing that. But yeah, a Bible wizard. I'd be a pinball wizard back in the day. Well, no, not really. I wasn't a pinball wizard. I played pinball, but I didn't last very long on a quarter.
I'll tell you what. I put more quarters in a pinball machine than I would care to admit. And this is like when I was in elementary school, right? We had a department store that was half a mile, less than a mile away, that we would walk through the woods, Joel, walk through some woods to get to.
Yeah, you old timer.
And I can remember my mom had a dish on top of the hutch cupboard, and it was just a little white dish with a lid on it, and I would try to sneak into the kitchen and carefully, it was kind of a glass dish, and so I would take the lid off as quietly as I could and see what change was in there, what coins I could find.
He's confessing.
And then I would sneak out and run up to Cook's department store and play pinball.
He's confessing his sins.
But one time
here,
she called me out on it, Joel. She said, I know. And she didn't chew me out. She didn't punish me. Just in passing one time in the middle of a conversation, she says, by the way, I know you've been taking coins out of that dish. I thought I was being so sneaky, getting away with it.
Huh. Well, I had a friend. He lived I won't say who it was, but they owned a shop. And they had rolls of quarters, and then a block away from there was the gas station that had an arcade in the back. And so he would go in there and grab a roll of quarters, and then we'd go over and play video games all day. So I don't know if they ever caught on to him or not, but those were the days.
A whole roll, man.
Yeah, a whole roll of quarters. That's 40 quarters. That's a lot of quarters.
Yeah. Well, hey, Let's get into something that we had requested from our listeners some weeks back on things that changed for you when you came into a greater knowledge of grace, the grace of the gospel. What traditional mindsets did you need to let go of or begin to unlearn, or you came into some revelation about the good news of Jesus that you had gone most of your life without ever hearing within the institutional church? What kinds of things changed your life? And Joel, you were kind of keeping track of these as we had them coming in online mostly. And so let's dive into some of this when you're ready.
Yeah, and it's going to be difficult to get into every one of them. We did get most of the comments were on YouTube, and so thank you for that. It was pretty awesome seeing those comments roll in, just the things that people have gone through in the legalistic church and how they've come out of those things. And we got some on Spotify as well. I think for at least for now, we will get to the Spotify ones. Right now I've got a printout of some of the YouTube ones. We're going to try to, I know these were public comments. We will probably keep these anonymous just in case a person doesn't really want their name mentioned on the air. Better safe than sorry for us. So, but these comments are there on YouTube. And of course I said there are some on Spotify that we'll eventually get to as well. So it's interesting. I thought I was bound by certain religious activities, certain things that I had to do, and the freedom that has come in Christ has been so wonderful. So let's see what some of you have mentioned here. in the comments. By the way, so we did this a few weeks ago. So in case you were just coming onto this episode blindly without knowing what we're talking about, back when we did on episode 1046 and 1047, we asked people for these comments. And so that's where on YouTube and on Spotify, you'll see some comments on those two episodes, 1046 and 1047. So this person says, one common thing I hear all the time in many churches is the topic of giving and tithes. You must give more so we, the church, can do more. What do you think about that one?
I'll let you tackle that because Joel. Well, we've done podcasts on the topic of tithing and the misrepresentation that it has brought to many and caused a lot of pain and heartache. But Joel has spent a lot of time going back many years with blogs and other things, and I did dedicate one chapter to it in my book, Clash of the Covenants. But Joel, I think you can comment on this one.
Yeah. And not too long ago on the Unsunday Show podcast with Mike Adams, we did about an hour or so on this topic as well. So check that out. But, you know, I went through the using a PC study Bible. I went through and found every single verse in the Bible that says anything about tithes, tithing, tenth, and I looked at everything. And to boil it all down, it's so common in the church today to take so many of these verses way, way, way out of context, including the big one, Malachi chapter 3, has nothing to do with life in Christ. It's really all about something under the law that the people of Israel were required to do. And so but what this person says, we must give more so we, the church, can do more. That whole idea is someone in the church thinking that, well, you have to give your money to this organization so that we can do more. As if somebody can't, you know, use their own money to help other people. And it doesn't have to be through a local church. It doesn't have to be through an organization. It can be if you choose to do it that way. It's certainly something a person is free to do, but there's no requirement to give. There's no requirement to tithe, to give 10% of your income. You're free to use your money, your goods, your possessions, however you want. And in your heart, you get to freely decide what you're going to do. You know, that's what it boils down to for me.
Yeah, the nutshell is the tithe was never really about money. It was something the Jews did under the law, giving a tenth of other things to help feed the priestly tribe of the Levites, because they didn't have the food and the lands to grow crops and all of that. They weren't given that. And that's what the whole idea of the tithe was for. And religion has turned that into a modern day thing where we give 10% of our money to the local church.
Right.
it just isn't there. It's made up.
It's not. And real quick too, the Abraham's tithe. Well, that was before the law. So that's by grace and by faith. Well, it was the tithe of the spoils of war. It was a one-time thing. He wasn't required to do it. At least, you know, God didn't require him to do it. It doesn't say that it was something that he did in faith. It's really was a custom in the land back then that if you went to war and you passed by an area where there was a local priest or local king, and that's who Melchizedek was, that Abraham gave the tithe to, then you would give a tithe of the spoils of war to that king or priest, and that's what Abraham did. And it was he was miles and miles and miles from home, so it's not like he went back and gave him a tenth of everything he owned, or perpetually gave him a tenth of his income for the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. So we take things like that, we Christianize them, and it's just... To me, it's just kind of silly, and people take it as gospel, you know. But when it's not really, it's just something taken out of context.
It really gets a hold of people, and they can easily get into guilt or think they're cursed or not being blessed. And certainly, we want to encourage people to be willing to give as it has been placed on their heart to do so, to do it willingly, cheerfully. But not because you have to. It's not a requirement.
Right.
So someone else wrote and said, going out, again, we're talking about people who have had different Christian concepts or religious concepts just kind of blown apart by grace. And they say this, going out and talking to people about Jesus or having to kneel every morning early beside my bed or trying to convert my family and brother, people in general, no, now I don't feel that I have to do that now. So I can relate to this one, Joel, because witnessing, as we used to call it, mm-hmm. was a significant part of my doing agenda to try and make sure that I was going to stay in God's good graces. I felt like it was something, if I wasn't doing it, you'd start to feel guilty. If I wasn't trying to win people over and get them to pray the sinner's prayer, then I just felt like I wasn't living up to God's expectations of me. So obviously, I still like to share the good news of Jesus with people. That's why we do this podcast. But, you know, back then we'd go out where the kids were out cruising on the weekend. We'd go up to the local university. We'd hit the streets. Even the night before my wife's water broke in the middle of the night, Joel. A few hours before that, I was out with a friend of mine up at the university trying to win people over. And so it was on my heart to want to see, obviously it was on my heart to want to see people find out more about Jesus. But the problem is with many of these things is that it becomes just religious activity. And you're doing it because you feel like you have to and like you're required to. And that's just religion. That's not life in Christ. I can relate to that now. In fact, I wish I could go back in time because some of the people that I was closest to, and one person particularly comes to mind who I kind of grew up with and considered a best friend, I wish I had a chance to go back and maybe do things a little bit differently because probably in my zealousness, I probably turned some people off.
Yeah,
and
me too.
I wish I could go back and do that because even though I don't drink alcohol, And it started out for religious reasons, but as the years went by, I just really decided I didn't have a need for it. But I could see myself now just going with friends, hanging out in a bar. I could drink a Dr. Pepper or whatever. And I would gladly look for opportunities just to be there as a friend, number one, and see if we could have a discussion if they were open to it. But, sometimes I felt like I was forcing a square peg into a round hole.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for a lot of people, it's like you're saying, it's obligation, it's religious duty, and instead of loving people, and you know, you have a desire for people to come to Christ, but when it becomes that, well, I have to do this. I mean, I had a lot of guilt placed on me. A lot of it was self-inflicted, and a lot of it was from the church that I was a part of. Like, you got to be out there. You went in people for Jesus, and when I didn't, I felt so bad, and that just made me, and it made me question my relationship with God, and then that made me less effective as a fruitful person, if I want to put it that way, because I felt so bad about myself. I'm like, it leads people into a downward spiral if they feel like they can't perform, whether it's that, you know, sharing Jesus with people, or a lot of other things, a lot of these other religious duties and obligations that the church puts on us. So yeah, it's not a legalistic thing. It's not a must. It's a should. If it's in your heart and you can love people and not try to overwhelm them with musts and shoulds, and if you really think you can help somebody, that's great. It's wonderful. But to make it into duty and obligation just takes away from the freedom we have in Christ. We weren't put here. The reason God saved us wasn't to be workers, religious workers. He saved us so that we could have life and have life abundantly. And as part of that, we want other people to enjoy that life as well. But it's not about religious duty and obligation. So there are two comments that you pointed out to me earlier that before we started, they're kind of tied together. So let's do these two together. I was told and believed that if I didn't pray before every meal, that I was sinning against God. And then how about asking God to bless our oftentimes greasy junk food to the nourishment of our bodies? I think that was kind of said to be funny, but oh my goodness. That's true. I know that some people feel that, well, because when Jesus received the fish and the loaves, he looked up to heaven and thanked God. And so many people think that they have to pray before every meal. And they have to just be thankful. And, you know, it's not like we're not thankful for God's provision, but it's not a requirement. It's not a must. It's something that some people do. I like to do that with my family. Sometimes it's not a religious thing. I kind of started it just to show my family that I'm thankful to God. But it's not something we have to do. And it certainly it's not a sin against God if you don't thank him. But I like this comment about blessing our greasy junk food to the nourishment of our bodies. As if we can eat anything we want and not worry about the consequences because we've asked God to bless it to our bodies. Mm-hmm. It's funny.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes it becomes uncomfortable when you're out in public and people feel the need that they have to do that. And it's good to be thankful. It's okay to formally offer that to God if you feel that you want to do that. If you want to, you know, have that formal moment of prayer before you eat, it's okay, as Joel said. But you don't. It's not a requirement. You can be thankful. Yeah, that's something that's changed for me over time, Joel. Is I'm just in a constant state of thankfulness, and it started right away when I hit the grace bridge. Mm-hmm. I've been using that phrase, the grace bridge, quite a bit, because where I was as a believer in Christ and where I am today, they're miles apart, and so I'm in a constant state of thankfulness. And I don't feel it necessary to do that because I just feel, based upon what I've experienced over the last 25 years, that I'm just in a constant state of fellowship with God. And so if you want to do it, but don't feel guilty if you don't. Because if you start feeling guilty, you might want to start fasting more if you don't pray before you eat.
Ha ha, ha ha. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there is one on here about fasting.
I guess we'll get to that.
We'll get to that. This one, it's all balls time to wrap this one up. Maybe we'll do some more episodes on this because going into this, we had no clue how much time we would spend like commenting on these comments. Some of them maybe we'll just read and then move on to the next ones because we've got several more to go through. So if you haven't heard yours read here, we'll get to it. But next week, by the way, well, let's do one real quick one, and then somebody writes, we had to do something called penance, which was a matter of recitation of a Hail Mary or Our Father several times. That's obviously, that sounds like it's coming from the Catholic Church. I mean, maybe there are other churches that do that. I've had friends that a few years ago, somebody told me she is Catholic. She thinks it's okay to go out to the bars and drinking and get all kind of all reckless and all that stuff because she can just say some Hail Marys and Our Fathers and then she's taken care of. And the whole, we could really get into all of that, but the whole thing is based on religion. We've been forgiven in Christ because of his blood, not because of penance, not because of anything we do, not because of any prayer that we recite, whether it's an Our Father, whether it's a Hail Mary. Salvation is by grace through faith. We're okay with God because of what he did and because of his great love for us, not because of anything we do. And so we're safe with him without having to perform a penance. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and even though this has a Catholic implication here, the same thing is going on in the evangelical church.
Yes,
just and traditional church.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. What's going on here with this mention isn't really any different. Something we'll be talking about because we received a lot of comments about needing to confess all of our sins to remain forgiven,
right,
or to be forgiven over and over again. We're going to get to that. But this is really no different from that. It's just another version of the same thing.
Right. It is. So let's wrap this one up. Next week, we'll continue on with this. And we'll also, we're not going to make a big deal out of it, but we will be turning 21 years old next week. We sound older, I know. But we'll maybe talk a little bit about that.
We probably do. Have you ever gone back and listened to one from like 10 or 15 years ago and you think, is that me?
Yeah. No, I've done that before. I've noticed, obviously, in 21 years, we both gained 21 years. So I was in my 30s when we started, now in my 50s. And
I don't know if we sound any changes. Better, but I think we look a lot better.
Oh, definitely. You can tell just by looking at us right here. So we'll have more next week.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke. Heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.